From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of messages from the book of Joshua. Today, he returns to the opening verse of chapter 13, where the Lord declares that Joshua was old and stricken in years, yet there remained very much land to be possessed. Joshua had been chosen by God to succeed Moses as the leader of the children of Israel in the task of conquering the land of Canaan. He had been faithful in carrying out this task, but now his life was coming to an end. In making a spiritual application of this passage, Dr. Cairns will emphasize the necessity for every Christian to make the best use of the time God gives him, for life is short and death is certain. The old motto is true: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. In the course of this message, entitled Be in Time, Dr. Cairns will warn the unsaved that their time to be saved is running out, that they need to flee to Christ for salvation. May the Lord use this soul-searching message to speak to hearts. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the Word of God, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning comes from Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. A convoy, on many accounts, would have been desirable for the pilgrim band, but a holy shamefacedness would not allow Ezra to seek one. He feared lest the heathen king should seek his professions of faith in God to be mere hypocrisy, or imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to lean on an arm of flesh in a matter so evidently of the Lord. And therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, guarded by him who is the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that few believers feel this holy jealousy for God. Even those who in a measure walk by faith occasionally mar the luster of their life by craving aid from man. It is a most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Would any believers seek state endowments for their church if they remembered that the Lord is dishonored by their asking Caesar's aid? As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. Should we run so hastily to friends and relations for assistance if we remembered that the Lord is magnified by our implicit reliance upon his solitary arm? My soul, wait thou only upon God. But, says one, are not means to be used? Assuredly they are. But our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently, it springs out of foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far neglecting the creature's arm, but very many sin greatly in making too much of it. Learn, beloved, to glorify the Lord by leaving means untried, if by using them thou wouldst dishonor the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Thank you. I want to return this morning to the first verse of Joshua chapter 13. Those who were here last week will know that using verse 1 of Joshua 13 and indeed the words of verse 6 as well, I preached a very theological, very doctrinal message. One that I think is very vital for us to understand, that when the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished redemption, he also applied it. And I preached last Lord's Day on redemption accomplished and applied. I think that it is fitting that I come back to this text to preach a very different kind of message, a very simple, straightforward, evangelistic application of this text to our hearts. Let us read it together this morning, Joshua 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua had no time to waste. At this period in his life, he was just over 100 years old. And he still had a very significant work to accomplish, a work which I think it fair to say only he could do satisfactorily. But it was obvious to everyone, himself included, that even in those days of relative longevity, Joshua's days were numbered. His life was nearly over. Whatever else he was going to do in his lifetime had to be done very, very quickly. I think the lesson to Joshua of this text of Scripture is very easily and indeed I would say perfectly summarized in the words of King Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, Solomon wrote, Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Matthew Henry grasped the plainest application of Joshua 13, verse 1, in his own unique way. If you're not a reader of Matthew Henry's commentary, I would give to every Christian, and especially to everybody who ever intends to teach or preach, I would give the advice that C.H. Spurgeon gave to his ministerial students. If you have to sell your coat to buy Matthew Henry, sell your coat. Because you will find very often great truth summarized in plain, simple, yet very sublime terms, unforgettable terms. Henry summed up the teaching of our text this morning like this. All people, but especially the aged, should set themselves to do that quickly, which must be done before they die, lest death prevent them. All people, but especially the aged, should set themselves to do that quickly, which must be done before they die, lest death prevent them. Today I want us to think in this truth, which the Lord clearly set before Joshua, and I trust will just as clearly set before us. For we can learn from it that we all have things to do that we will never do unless we do them very soon. You have things to do that will never be done unless you do them very soon. The message of the text is the message, therefore, of the hymn that we were singing together just now. Be in time. Can I remark, first and foremost, the obvious thing, that time is short. It was short for Joshua. Of course, you may argue, well, he was already an old man. One may expect that his time would be short, and that's very true. But it's equally true that time is short for men and women and young people of every age group, in every place, at every time. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, "This I say, brethren, the time is short." That means that every one of us, and I'm speaking now to teenagers and to those who haven't even yet reached their teens. I just heard this morning of a little infant fighting for life. In my ministry, I have attended at the graveside of every age group. I have gone with parents as they have carried a little white coffin, yea long. And I have gone to the same graveside with the old man in his 100th year. As we think of these things, that the time is short, we should all face the question that Barzillai asked in the presence of David many years ago. He said, "How long have I to live?" In his case, he meant to convey very clearly, "David, I do not have very long to live." But that question is one that every man, woman, young person, and child in this meeting this morning should seriously ask. How long have I to live? While we may not be able to give a definitive answer as to days and hours and minutes, yet from the Word of God we can derive a very clear reply. Job's 7th chapter tells us that our life passes with the speed of a weaver's shuttle. David said that the span of our life is just like a handbreadth. Peter quotes the psalmist as telling us that life is like grass that flourishes today and it's gone tomorrow. And again, we are assured in Scripture that our life is just like a shadow. James sums it all up and he asks the question, "What is your life?" "It is even as a vapor. It appeareth for a little season, then it vanisheth away." We have all stood out on a chilly day and seen our breath become a vapor before our eyes and then quickly disappear. James says, "What is your life?" Every time you see your breath become a vapor and then in a second or two disappear, hear a sermon from heaven. That is your life. What is the answer then to Barzillai's question, "How long have I to live?" For most of us, the answer very plainly is not as long as you think. Time is short. That leads me to remark that some people are in the last stages of life, but have left undone and unattended very many necessary things. I think first of all of the greatest necessity for any soul, and that is to be right with God. In a different context, but with an undying message, the Lord spoke through Amos the prophet, and he said, "Prepare to meet thy God." The great business of life is eternity. The great concern of this world is the next world. The greatest matter that can take the attention of any man or any woman is, how is it with my soul? Where do I stand with God? Am I saved or lost? Am I heaven-bound or hurtling toward the outer darkness of a lost eternity? Are my sins washed away, or are they yet unremitted to stand against me as witnesses for the prosecution in the day of judgment? How is it with my soul? The greatest and most urgent thing that I can press upon any man, any woman, or any young person is to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near, to tell them that there is mercy with God, there is salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ has for sin atonement made, and he presents that finished work to God, who is satisfied, and in good faith he offers it to men who may have it if they will. The only man who hears the gospel and goes away unconverted is the man who will not have it. Jesus looked with sadness on the Jews of his day, and he said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." What a lamentation! Ye will not come. Your will is so rotten and depraved, corrupted, selfish, worldly, and sinful that you will not come to me. Person who will not come to Christ will be lost. But the person who will have Christ has the command of Scripture to come and take him, and he'll not turn you away.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.